Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different Podcast. What I wanted to do today is to do a live in-person interview with one of my very good friends, Miss Brooke Bryan. So, Brooke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, this is just such a blessing. Up front, I just wanted you to know, and I know you already know this, but I want everybody else to know, too, that you and your family have been just such a blessing in my life personally. Mm-hmm. Your mom, Miss Shalene, Aunt Shalene is what I call her. Man, she has called me in some of like the toughest moments of my life and just spoken such encouragement and wisdom over me that I have just been able to cling to, and I'm so appreciative of. And I see all that you've done in the short time of us really getting to know each other, and I'm just so thankful for you. I view you like a little sister, and I'm just so thankful for what God is doing and that they're Built Different, and we'll dive into that toward the latter half of this episode. Mm. But Brooke, I want to start off by saying this. You are a Liberty University lacrosse athlete.
Yeah, come on.
That's right. Lacrosse. Brooke, what has this fall been like for you girls and the team? Like, what are you guys expecting? How much fun has it been?
Yes. Okay, so fall is crazy.
Yeah.
So our season is in the spring, so that's like the glorious time. And right now I explain it to the freshmen like, fall is like a long tunnel that kind of feels like there's not a light at the end of it. Like you're just trudging away. You got conditioning at 6 a.m., got lift, you got practice. Mm. And it's like that time you're preparing your field for rain for the spring. And it's been really fun. We have a really good freshman group that has come in. We got some crazy ballers in that freshman group. And I think they brought a new life to our team, so I'm excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been out to several of your games in the past. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm very expectant of this spring. Yeah. And, bro, God has just done something in and through you guys and through you as a leader on the team. But where you're at now is not always where you've been.
Yep.
Right? And God is just an amazing piece, how he writes our stories. They're all different. What we love to do here on the Built Different Podcast is share the power of somebody's testimony. Mm-hmm. And you have a very unique story and testimony about you, about how actually you were at Liberty, you left Liberty, and you came back.
Yes.
So can you just help our listeners understand what was that season of your life like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I truly believe the Lord, his hand has just been throughout my college experience.
And
I've just had some crazy moments that it's like, man, this could have only been the Lord. So I got here freshman year, 2017.
Yeah.
Little freshman coming in on the lacrosse team. I struggled hard, Zach. Like, my fall, I got suspended two times because I was failing my run test. Mm. I couldn't get my study hall hours done. I didn't even know what a planner was. And I just did not know what was going on.
I understand.
And so something that I loved so much, lacrosse, I was failing miserably at in so many ways. And that was really a check to my identity because I had built up, I know a lot of athletes find their identity in their sport, obviously.
Completely.
It's what we do every day.
It's what we do.
And so when that happened my freshman year, I was just caught off guard.
Yeah.
And the way that I responded to that was I kind of got my life out of order. And I was like, okay, I'm sucking at lacrosse right now, which hasn't really happened before.
Right.
And so what I need to do is I just need to make lacrosse my sole focus, and I need to fix everything that's going wrong in my life.
Yeah.
And so I thought the solution to that was just working hard, getting focused, planning everything, and if I could just muscle through, then I could make everything better.
Right.
And so that's what I did. The last half of the fall, throughout the entire winter break, like 3 months.
Yeah.
Of winter break, I just grinded. And when I got back in the spring, I was a lot more successful in the field. I didn't get any more suspensions. I passed my run tests and I was doing well.
Right.
But my soul felt deprived and it felt like starving, honestly, because I was just dependent on myself. The order of my life was completely off.
Yeah.
And so after that final spring of my freshman year, I was like, I need to get out of here. Like, yeah. I need to just do something different. So I worked up at a camp at Hume Lake. It's in California where I'm from.
Yeah.
And the camp has no technology because, like, on the top of this mountain, there's no concept of time there. So there's no clocks or anything.
Wow.
And a I know. I know. And a majority, actually, the time goes conch time.
Right.
So you just go off the blow of a conch, which is crazy. But you just get time to abide in the Lord. Like John 15, time in solitude. And during that time, I just felt the Lord was saying, Brooke, you need to leave Liberty and leave La Crosse. That was the two phrases that kept coming up. Like when I was worshiping, when I was spending time with him, when I was with other people. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I finally got this thing going. I'm not, you know, failing anymore. But Lord, like, why would you take this away from me? I finally love being at Liberty.
Right.
And it was just so clear that that's what he was asking me to do. And so I was like, dang, okay, delayed obedience is disobedience. And so I need to immediately respond and I need to take action in leaving. So I called my coach, I called all of my teammates on my team and just explained what I had experienced at that camp.
Right.
And I left Liberty. Now, the purpose behind leaving was just to have enough time to spend with the Lord. I was like, dang, I'm not getting up at 5:45 to go to practice for 3 hours and then do rehab for 2 hours like you know with baseball.
Yes,
and exactly. And baseball does even more, which is crazy.
I hear you.
But I was like, I'm going to have all this free time. Yep. I can, like, go to a homeless shelter. I can memorize the whole book of Jude. I haven't even read that before. And I was like, okay, this is going to be great.
Right.
And when I got home, I went started going to a different college in Santa Barbara, and I realized that more time wasn't the solution to my problems. I think a lot of times people think, if I just had more time, like, I could invest into this relationship. Sure. If I just had more time, I could disciple my disciples better. I could spend more time with Jesus. And I learned more time is not what we need. We need to reorder the priorities that are in our life. So when I was living in Santa Barbara, my priorities were still the same. It was self-seeking. And so it wasn't filling the way that I thought it would be. And that realization changed everything for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, the order of my life is completely off. And so then if I put Christ as the head of my life instead of La Crosse, instead of then when I was in Santa Barbara, maybe my family or maybe like my friendships I can build there.
Right.
If I take those things off the throne and I put Christ in his rightful place, then everything else kind of becomes clear and everything else falls into order. And so with that realization, I realized, Brooke, you've been gifted in La Crosse and you love it. So I had missed it so much being gone. And I was like, the Lord can use this gift.
Yeah.
The Lord can use La Crosse. Instead of it me making it an idol and a curse, the Lord can use this as a blessing for his influence. So I was like, I need to go back to Liberty, period. Like, I need to go back. But I'd given up my spot, my opportunity. And so I had to call my coach and just, like, pretty much beg her, like, coach, please. This is what I've learned. This is why I left, and this is why I feel like released and ready to come back and serve my team in any way I can.
Yeah.
And so she so graciously
allowed
me to come back. Shout out Coach Kelly. And I was just shocked and just in awe. And ever since then, it's just been this process of just one degree at a time, sanctification, like the Lord just teaching me to be dependent on him and trust him first. So that's kind of my story.
It's so powerful because I pulled away something that you said, delayed obedience is disobedience. And that's something that is a part of your story that has always resonated with me every time I hear it. And when I watched it on Liberty special that they did on you, it's so powerful to me to know that there was somebody out there that was listening to the voice of God that was willing to say, you know what? I'm not only going to listen, but then I'm going to obey. And I'm going to walk away from something that I found my identity in for a season of my life. And I think of a lot of the athletes that I get the opportunity to work with, even up at Liberty, that their sole focus, Brooke, is found in their sport.
Yeah.
It's found in what they do, right? Yeah. That's their identity. Mm-hmm. But rather than realizing that, man, lacrosse is just something you get to do, but it's not who you are.
Yes.
And like you said, prioritizing your life, because at the end of the day, it's not more time that we need, because there's always going to be something better to do.
Yes.
But actually saying, I don't need more time, I need more of Jesus, and yes. filling my cup and yes. doing these things. So it's just so powerful to hear where you were, the season of life that God brought you through, the lessons that he taught you, and now you get to step back into this season, and it's like, let's roll. You know what I mean? Like, me and Jesus, baby, let's go.
Yes.
And that's where you're at.
Yeah.
So, Brooke, I know this last year has been one that has been probably trying to continue to lead toward leadership, lean into it, and just really help press in closer to the heart of God. And you've learned so many things that you've shared with me. And I just want to touch on these for a second.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing that you wrote down was the Lord loves to invite us into his work when we are desperately dependent on him. Mm-hmm. So, Brooke, what have you learned through that little piece and that quote that you shared with us that we can grasp from today?
Yeah, for sure. This last year, honestly, kind of came as a shock for me.
Yeah.
To kind of like let you into that. My entire lacrosse career in college has been a role of being a cheerleader and an encourager to my teammates.
Right.
I love the game of lacrosse.
Yeah.
And throughout, like from my freshman to my junior year, I got like minimal playing time, which meant, okay, the Lord is allowing me to be in a role where I can encourage and love my teammates and support them during the season. And that's been kind of tough, you know, because I'm a gamer. Like I like to play and I love the game. And so that has been tough. But this past year, the Lord has allowed me to literally have a year that could only come from him.
Right.
And that year came from this deep dependency on him that you were talking about. So on my team last year, I was vouching for a starting position and I didn't get it. And I was like, okay, like God ordained, the Lord's plans are perfect. And so he doesn't want me on the field. And you know what? That's going to be okay. I'm going to stay ready. I'm going to play every day to the best of my ability. But if this is what he allows, this is what he allows. And the second game of the season, one of my dearest friends, Anna Keebler, who's an absolute baller.
Baller.
Like, she scores crazy amount of goals every game, like consistent. Captain of our team, captain of our offense, like, if you're looking at a quarterback, like this is the quarterback
is
of our offense.
Yeah.
Second game of the season, she gets a season-ending injury. She tears her ACL. And this position that she held now has this like gaping hole in it. And I am like the next off the bench. And in that moment, I was like, dang, like, I feel like I'm needing to fill this ginormous hole that I just don't feel capable of filling.
Right.
And so I just like went to the Lord and I was like, Lord, like this is what I believed that I wanted. Like I desire to be in and be a gamer and play this game well, but I literally cannot do this apart from you.
Right.
And I don't know what you have planned for me, but you've allowed me into this role now of being on this attack. And like, I need you to show up. Like, there's no other option but for you to show up. And I think when we're so dependent on the Lord and our pride is, like, completely taken away, the Lord loves using people like that.
Completely.
Because then when he lavishes success and blessing on those people, they know, like I knew, this is all from the Lord.
That's
like, this could be nowhere else from the Lord because I know where I've been.
Right.
I know where I've been. And so this must be of the Lord. And so in that moment, the first game that I had to start, I just got in the Word, and I was in the locker room just praying. I was like, Lord, I can't do this. Like, I need you to show up. And he brought me to Joshua 1. And in Joshua 1, the very first verse was Moses' death and the Lord calling on Joshua. And that was super big for me because Moses was the ultimate leader of the nation of Israel, God's people.
That's right.
And he was like arguably the best leader of Israel. And that person of Moses dying and then Joshua having to step up and fill that role, I empathized with Joshua and I was like, I can't do this. And the thing that the Lord says first to Joshua is, be strong and courageous, Joshua, for I will be with you wherever you go. Mm. And I was like, shoot. And I started crying because I was like, the Lord is telling me that he is with me and that I don't have to depend on myself.
That's right.
He's allowed this to happen for a reason. Mm. He's put me in this position for a reason. He's not just going to leave me there. Mm. Like, he's going to show up for his glory and his influence, whatever that means. And it could have meant that I, like, totally had a horrible game or I, like, didn't fill a role or whatever it was. But I knew that me being in that role would bring the Lord the most glory.
That's
and
right.
So I could be confident in that.
Mm, that's so good. You know, I think in some of the hardest moments of my life when I face the most challenge, I'm a big reader. I love reading.
Yeah,
I love diving into quotes and different things. But there's a quote by a woman named Nancy Lee DeMoss, and she said, in any and all circumstances that I've come against in my life, I've realized I can do one of two things. I can whine or I can worship. And it's impossible to worship without giving thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And that really resounded with me because something like you said, you dove into scripture before your first big game, right? My thing was before every game I pitched, I dove into scripture, specifically very well-known story, David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. That was my place, man. I opened right to it. That was where my bookmark was. And I was going to read that every single day because I wanted to be like David because like you're saying, David was ready for his moments.
Yes.
And in my mind, he was only ready for his moment, his big moment, when he ran into battle with Goliath. Like, how do you have the confidence to run into battle with someone? Through preparing when you weren't in that situation in the first place, right?
Yes.
So like you're talking about, what I love about David is that he was out there tending the sheep.
Yes.
Right? This lowly shepherd boy who was out there fighting off the bears and the lions of many kinds with his bare hands. He was doing the work and the minuscule things for the sheep that really had no significance. But he was doing that so much that when his moment came, boom, he ran into battle because he had prepared. Because he knew that God was with him in the small, that for sure God will be with him in the big. And I think that's really what rung true to me as you're talking about your story, that you were waiting for that moment and you didn't waste your wait. And when your time came, boom, God propelled you into a season that was one that changed your career and ultimately, I really believe, will change your life as it's changed your faith.
Yeah.
Brooke, another thing that you talk about is a quote by C.S. Lewis, and it's really referring to putting first things first. I'll read it for you. It says, put first things first and second things are thrown in, but second things first and you lose both first and second things. Help us understand the meaning and significance behind that in your own life.
Yes. Like I was kind of saying when I was sharing my story, I had gotten the order of my life off.
Yeah.
So God has like this divine order that he must be at the throne and the center of all attention, all glory, and all focus. Because that's just simply right. Like, he's all-knowing, he is all-powerful, he's a creator, he's the most creative being in the universe. He's all-powerful, all-glorious. So him not being at the center is just wrong.
Right.
And so I had gotten the order off in my life in that I was looking for other things than him to satisfy me, firstly, and other things to be my prize.
That's right.
So a big thing that I learned was once I put first things first, so first things being first is the Lord at the throne of my life, instead of second things first, lacrosse being first in my life.
Yep.
Then and only then is the Lord able to bless me in lacrosse. Because if I put lacrosse first and the Lord blesses me in lacrosse, then that blessing is actually a curse because that turns into idolatry.
That's right.
So he can't bless lacrosse when it's first in my life. He can only bless lacrosse when he's first in my life.
Amen.
Because then I have open hands because I'm like, Jesus Christ as my prize in comparison to a championship ring or a starting position, those things just come so dim compared to like resurrecting eternal life in Jesus. Like that prize is just so much greater.
So good.
And so then I'm like, whether or not I get this starting spot or whether or not I win this ring, I don't really care because I already have the ultimate victory in Jesus. Mm. And so I don't need those things anymore.
Right.
And because of that, the Lord can then say, well, Brookie, I would love to give you that starting position. And I would love to give you that ring because I know you'll take those things as tools.
That's right.
Instead of curses. Then you can use those tools for my influence. Man. And that's like the biggest thing I've learned in this past year is like, man, the Lord wants to bless us.
But it's us
that gets in the way.
That's right.
It's we're the ones. And like you're saying with David,
like
the reason why David wanted to run into battle with Goliath was not, oh, I've defeated this bear and this lion and I'm like a baller and I know I can defeat big beasts. No.
Right.
He said, I'm going to defeat you because you're threatening my God.
That's right.
And my God is the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to defeat you not by my own power, but the Lord is actually the king of this battle.
Amen.
And David said, I will defeat you by God's hand so that all the nations will see this battle and know there's a God in Israel.
Amen.
And that's the same thing with our passions, the things that we love, these big moments that you're talking about, like these moments of influence.
Yeah.
We want to run to them because we know that these moments, when people look at them in our life, like say you have an incredible game pitching, you want to have that game so that people can look at it and know that there's a God.
That's right.
And they're going to ask you about that.
That's right. And doing work in the dark. There's a book out there that's called Winning in the Dark, and it's specifically built on, the bright lights at the end of the day, it's not where winning's done. Winning's done in the darkness, in the small moments of life, you're talking about growing in relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So then when you get placed on a pedestal, because this world and this culture, we love arts, we love sports, we love doing that to people, right?
Yeah.
But then you're preparing yourself to then bring all the honor and all the glory and deflect it from yourself and onto the one who gives you that strength and those abilities.
Yeah.
So powerful, Brooke. And something that kind of came to my mind as you were talking about all the different things and prioritizing life, my dad always put it this way. Mm. We have different compartments in our life. So we have whether that's our sport that we play or what we're passionate about, we have our family, we have our friends, we have our spouses, we have our significant others, whatever it is. But then inside of these boxes or compartments, they're all inside of one big box, and that's your relationship with God, first and foremost, right? So if one of these little boxes is out of whack, but they're in the big box, they're still together at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. If you make God just another little box, then all of a sudden, if that's gone, then all of these will start to diminish every single day. But regardless of what happens to the little boxes, if they're inside this great big box that cannot be broken, you're safe and you're secure and you're loved and you're seen. And there's so many things that come that are so good from the big box, which is the God box. So just something that Brooke is really, you're speaking to me. Keep challenging me where my God box is. Is my God box full? And where am I at in priorities? So thank you for saying that. But Brooke, one last piece that you really want to touch on is something that all athletes, at the end of the day, the best athletes, the most elite people, not even athletes, but all people, one thing that they all have, confidence.
Yeah.
Right? Confidence. If you don't have confidence, Ozzie Smith always said, show me a man who's afraid of embarrassing himself and I will beat him every single time. If you don't have confidence in athletics specifically, you got nothing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, confidence. I think that's a big key topic, and it's also a touchy topic because
it is.
Especially I've noticed in women in sports, sometimes confidence can be something to be feared in ourselves because even Christian women athletes, because sometimes we fear that we're being cocky or we're coming off like self-focused when we have confidence. And I want to like make a point that I think being cocky and self-focused is actually almost antithetical to confidence.
That's right.
And the reason why that is because I think the truest form of confidence is Christ's confidence.
That's right.
It's confidence in knowing what the Lord has gifted us in.
Amen.
So when we know he's gifted every single person with passions, giftings, spiritual giftings, and he makes everyone unique to bring something to the body of Christ that they need to fill. And if they're not in that position in the body of Christ with their unique giftings, then the body can't form properly or function properly.
That's right.
In sports, I realized in a big way this year that actually I'm able to have confidence when I step out onto a field because I'm like, man, the Lord has given me passion for lacrosse. The Lord has given me a love for lacrosse. And for some reason, he's made me talented at this game. And because of those three things, I know he has me in this like game for a reason.
That's right.
And so because of that, I can step out on the field and just ball out.
That's right.
Because that's right. what he made me to do. Exactly. Like, why not go out here and ball out? And then when people ask me, Brooke, what the heck happened? Right. How did you go from bench warmer to leading goal scorer? I can say, that's the Lord's gifting.
Amen.
And for some reason, he's gifted me in this. And so I want to steward it. And the reason why he's gifted me in this is just to bring influence to his name.
Amen.
And so I can tell them, like, look, it's fun to score goals.
That's right.
It's fun to make strikeouts.
It's fun
to win games. It's fun to win championships. But listen to me. That is nothing compared to the prize that I have in Jesus. And when people come to us and we're able to give that testimony to them as someone that maybe a freshman is looking up to me as a senior who's scoring a lot of goals. How are you doing this? How does this situation feel? And I can tell them that this glory that you're chasing after is nothing compared to Christ.
Amen.
Then all the glory goes back to the Lord because the gift is his anyways.
Completely.
So we have to be confident.
Have to.
Like there's no option. Like we must be confident if we want to live in obedience to the Lord.
Amen. That's so good, Brooke. You know, I was just meeting with just a kid today, college athlete today, talking about this very thing, about confidence.
Yeah.
And someone who lacked confidence for a time in his life. And really talking about, you know, for me personally, in my story was, you know, my first 2 years at Liberty, I was more so a bench warmer as well.
Yeah.
I pitched a little bit here and there and relief outings and whatnot like that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until about my junior year where I started really diving into the Word and growing an intimate relationship with the Lord in that way personally that I was able to find that God confidence that you're talking about. And, you know, when I used to take the mound, it was like I was going out there and I just wanted to have success. It's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm a people pleaser. And I love the applause, right? I wanted to make other people happy. My teammates happy, my coaches happy, my parents happy, my friends, whatever it was. I just wanted people to be happy. And it wasn't until I really came to the point of, I would say, brokenness and surrender when I was like, you know what, God, this isn't about me anymore. I don't want to have success. I don't want to strive for perfection. That's not what this life is about. This life's all about obedience because then obedience leads to Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'd rather be more Christ-like than I would rather be perfect because perfect is just a worldly term that we all give it. So my thing was, I want to go out here every day and I want to compete for you at the end. And regardless of what happens, I'm still loved and I'm still chosen and I'm still pursued by the God who delights in impossibility and the God who created me and loved me and made me for a relationship with him. And in that moment, my whole career changed, right, in baseball.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, my whole life changed because I went out there and I wasn't pitching for me anymore to make anybody else happy. It was I was pitching with honestly to bring his name glory like you're talking about. So it didn't matter if I gave up a home run or I struck a guy out.
Yeah.
It did not define me anymore.
Yeah.
I was still Zach Clinton. I could go to the showers and then go home, and nothing that happened on the baseball diamond defined who I was. And that's what you're saying. Then when you're blessed with opportunities and you're blessed to have success on the field, it has nothing to do with you.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't define you.
Yeah.
You're not Brooke the lacrosse player. You're Brooke Bryan, the Jesus follower.
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's who you were called to be. Mm-hmm. And lacrosse is just something you get to do on a side benefit.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to confidence from a guy's perspective, we come across as more egotistical. We all got egos.
Yeah.
We all like to compete and play really hard and do all these things. But I think there's a lot of people out there that do have God confidence, and it may come across as having a big ego or being cocky.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's more so just being out there and you're playing free.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
Playing free.
Playing free. And that's the ultimate goal. Because when you play free, that's what we talk about in sports psychology, then you can play to the level you're actually capable of playing at. When you're playing small or scared or fearful, man, sports aren't fun.
Yes. Right?
It's not fun.
Yes.
When you play free because you know you're so much greater than a game, that's what makes it fun again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we have that security in Christ as our win,
right,
in Christ as our victory, then the outcome of performance just like diminishes. Like we don't even think about it. And that's what enables us to play free.
That's right.
That's so good.
That's right. Brooke, just kind of in closing, to the people that are out there listening, maybe even the young student athletes, whether they're in high school, whether they're in college, whether they're professional, whatever it is, and they find kind of their identity in the game and things aren't going well, right? Mm. They've hit a slump. They've hit a really rocky bottom.
Yep.
And they're just trying to struggle to catch their breath.
Yes.
A passage that God has placed on your heart specifically is from James 1. It's one of my favorites. Once again, I was just sharing it this morning with the guy. Can you just kind of dive into that and how they can actually, you know, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds? Can you help them understand that?
Yes. So I think a big passage I clung to when I wasn't getting the playing time I wanted, when I wasn't getting that position, was consider it joy, like you were saying, joy.
Joy.
When we face trials of any kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance.
That's right.
And it says, let perseverance have its full effect, so you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing.
Mm.
Now, this was powerful because I think when we face trials that seem like they're never ending.
Right.
So that can be mental trials. That can be trials at work. That can be relational trials with people. Like, man, is this friendship ever going to get better?
Right.
When we face trials like that, we get to be joyful as Christ followers because we know perseverance is produced in us. But I think what happens is we try to stop this like cycle, this process short.
Yeah.
And we quit. So it's easy to be tempted by quitting. Like this cheap meal of like, man, if I quit, this will be relief. I won't have this burden on my back anymore. I won't have to endure this trial. But what this verse is encouraging is don't quit. Don't grow weary in doing what's right, like it says in Galatians 6:9.
Yeah.
Don't grow weary in doing what's right, because in due time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. And so what this is saying is like, stick it out. Let perseverance run its course, because then at the end of this, you will be mature and complete and more Christ-like than you have ever been. But if you cut this short here, then all this like toil that has gone before will be worth nothing, because you'll have stopped this process short to its final end, its glorious end, which is being like Christ. And so I want to encourage the people out there who are going through something that's extremely difficult and it seems like it'll never end. Don't grow weary in doing what's right.
Amen.
The Lord will bring about this maturity and this completeness through what you're going through, and press into Him. Like, He will show that to you.
So powerful, Brooke. It really is. And I think that all comes back to that idea, like you said, of joy and of thankfulness in all circumstances. Because if you can find joy and thankfulness in the struggles and in the sufferings of our life, that's the perseverance that then helps you lack nothing. Because God says, man, if you can do that, if you can understand that I'm with you in the good and the bad and the happy and the sad, man, I will always be there. You can always be joyful in all things. Brooke, so powerful. I love having you on the show. And now I want to tell the good news. So because of how just amazing Brooke is and the impact that her and her family have had on my life personally, I have invited Brooke to come alongside of me and to co-host the Built Different podcast. Let me tell you guys, God is doing something special with Built Different and really forming this into a ministry. So many different ideas that we've thrown back and forth and trying to do more video-based stuff and trying to bring in guests for live interviews and trying to actually make this a ministry.
Yes. Brooke,
talk to them a little bit about it and how you're excited for it, because I know I'm stoked.
Yes. Well, firstly, I just literally feel like my socks blown off that you even invited me into this opportunity. Like,
absolutely.
Zach, you amaze me in so many ways. Thanks. Just the man of God that you are and how
you
just value obedience above all else, and you just want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So that blows me away. So I'm pumped that we get to walk this journey together. But for the Built Different podcast, just things that we've come up with is we just desire to create moments of discussion, of just talking about what the Lord has taught people through their testimony, through adversity, through the Word of God itself. And we just want to bring people on to have just healthy and fun discussions about hard topics, about things that they've gone through in their life, and just learning from people who are experts in their field, if that's top-tier coaches, doctors, counselors, whatever it is, like athletes, actresses, actors, whatever that is, we just want to learn and glean from them.
Amen.
And so we're eager to also invite you as the audience into that. And we want to get y'all's feedback on what you desire to hear and questions that you guys have so that we can just really dig into this ministry about being built different.
That's right. And I want everyone to understand this isn't the Zach and Brooke show, right? This isn't just about us and what we're going through. But at the end of the day, this is just a show that we, like Brooke said, want to continue to learn. We want to continue to point people to the foot of the cross and help them to understand, man, that Jesus is at the forefront. He's at the center of all that we're doing, of all the conversations that we're having with all the different guests that we'll bring in, like Brooke said. We just want somebody to be filled with hope, encouragement, and motivation to live a built different life on the solid foundation that only Christ has to offer. Brooke, any closing thoughts before we leave today?
I think that was a great ending, Zach. Thank you so much.
Well, everybody, Brooke and I will both see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Hi there. This is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Also, if you happen to catch the show on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. Thanks again for tuning in to the Built Different podcast.